It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network, coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. Happy Friday. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, I hope you're safe. I hope you are well. Much love to everybody leaving work on a Friday. Much love to everybody getting to that money on a Friday. All my DoorDashers, Uber drivers, Amazon workers, taxi folk, people in the back room, the front room, the chefs, people in the hospital. Shout outs to all the emergency care workers. Shout outs to all the officers. We got officers who call up and listen. The firefighters, military, people holding it down. If you held it down, you holding it down now, thank you. Am I people really holding it down? I know you out there. Much love to you, too. Listen, I'll be here with you for the next 3 hours. I'm happy to be joined by super producer and host Ryan Hickey in New York City. In New York City right now, in Queens, New York, the New York Mets are leading the Dodgers 10-2. It's the fifth inning. Looks like the New York Mets are trying to make their way back to Los Angeles for game six. Look, I don't know nobody who wants no cross-country flights now, okay? Got to go from the West Coast to the East Coast, go back to the West Coast. The Mets will eventually have to go back to... Hickey, that's enough to drive me nuts.
I would love to have that problem. I hope we're talking about, you know, I guess not transcontinental, but at least cross-country flights. I hope that we have a few of them. Well, I guess we will have a few of them, hopefully.
If the Mets get eliminated, I'd say, listen, just leave me here in L.A. for a few days. I ain't got time to fly back. Leave me alone. But I guess you have to, right? You got to. Do they do exit meetings in baseball? I know they want you to clean out your locker, but is that even necessary? Like, what am I flying back for? What's the rush?
I believe they do have some sort of like clean out your locker media availability.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming they that's do. Required. I guess it is required, right?
Yeah, you have to do it. Yeah, I think so.
You're saying you would want to be like Urban Meyer? I'm just going to skip the flight, guys.
Oh, to hang out with somebody that's not my wife?
Yeah.
And sit her on my lap and take videos?
Right.
No.
No, you wouldn't do that?
No. No. I would just want to be left alone. Give me a couple of days.
Okay.
I just finished a long-ass season. I just got eliminated. I've flown to Los Angeles twice over the span of a week. And now I got to fly back to New York after a loss? Can I? I don't know. Well, I was going to say, can I... walk down to Hollywood Boulevard, and I forgot how dirty that place is. I was going to say maybe I could sit near the beach, but it's October. I don't know. I just don't want to go back, sit on a plane, and be miserable. Like, who wants to do that? Nobody, right?
Nobody. I mean, it is, like, what, 5 hours or so?
Yes.
Coming back, right, west to east.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure the Mets, like any Major League Baseball team, they're not flying... how do we say economy?
Yeah, but still.
I don't think you got to worry about cramped legs.
It's not fun.
I'm sure the food is a lot better.
Look, they're not flying on Soul Plane, okay? This is not Emirates either. They get on a plane. And after I'm assuming they're losing. Look at me. What a jerk I am.
Yeah, wow. What the hell?
I'm saying they'll fly back on a Sunday night.
So they're going to lose game six, not even make it to game seven.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Just leave me in L.A. for a few days. What's the rush to go back to New York? It's also filthy, by the way.
You'd rather stay in one filth-filled city than go back to another?
A different type of filth.
Very true.
Do you want me to compare the filth of Los Angeles versus the filth of New York?
Sure. I've only been to L.A. one time for like 30 hours, so I really don't know the filth of L.A. What does that entail?
Let's see. Where do I start? Oh, man. So, New York is much more concentrated, much more filthy, people on top of each other. Los Angeles is more spread out. If you want to see filth in Los Angeles, you got to hang out in the downtown area, okay? You walk down, imagine being in Times Square and put it, just say, hey, now this is Hollywood Boulevard. You got cracked out Elmo, you got meth head Batman, you got Elmo with one eyeball, you know, it's kind of ratty. You got to watch where you step. You might step in crap. You know, it's like New York, but spread out dirty.
I see. Okay, so New York is concentrated filth. L.A. is just spread all around the surrounding area as well. Okay.
Yeah.
Plus
yeah,
smog.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we have, because it traps all the, you know, all the pollution. Yeah.
I got okay.
Yeah. That's why Shohei Ohtani, he loves it. He loves it out there.
The smog, he just blends right in.
And maybe that's why he doesn't go outside.
That's true.
Just, he goes from his house, wherever it is. I think his house is under the stadium. You never see this guy. Never seen this man outside. It's Hickey, it concerns me. Hickey, I've seen Yao Ming outside, okay? I've never seen Shohei Ohtani outside. He doesn't go anywhere.
Dodger Stadium's in the hills, right? Like kind of in the outskirts?
It's kind of, no, it's just kind of northeast of downtown. And it sits at like the bottom of hills between downtown and the hills. That's kind of how it's close to downtown.
So outside of maybe the stadium, is there any other reason to be in that area?
What area?
By Dodger Stadium?
For him? Hickey?
General. For you and I, if we were in L.A., is there any reason for us to go near the stadium if the Dodgers were not playing?
Nah, not over there.
People maybe he lives in the stadium then.
People live over there.
So maybe that's where he is, you know? If no one's in that area outside of a Dodger game, and obviously we know where he is every Dodger game,
right?
Maybe that's where he hangs out. Blends in.
No, bro, I don't think so.
No?
Oh. I think he would stand out very much so in that neighborhood. he would really... Hey, there's the 6'5" Japanese guy. Yeah, I think he would really, really stand out. An amazing player he is, but I think he would stand out anywhere he goes. Hickey, you know, think about this. You understand how big that guy is? He's huge. He's massive. That guy's huge.
I guess you're right. When you look at him against other baseball players, right, everyone is big. Even though he looks bigger than everyone else, right? I guess it's hard to quantify until you actually see it. You're probably right. He would stick out like a sore thumb.
He is 6'4".
Wow.
And they list him at 210 pounds. I do not believe it. That guy is solid. That guy is, he's a solid dude. He ain't no 210 pounds. This got to be when he first came. Oh, crap. Is this his second home run, Hickey?
In as many at bats.
Oh, my. The guy just casually threw the ball back.
That is funny. I've never seen. Well, I guess they catch it in the first row. You don't really need a lot of mustard to throw it back onto the field.
What is this? Pagas? Is that his name? Is it Pages? How do they say his name?
Pages.
Pages?
Andy Pages.
Andy Pages. It's another home run.
Spelled like Pages.
Yeah, well, it's the accent. The score is now 10-5 in the fifth inning. If the game is over, people, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Oh,
some guy I've never seen swing a bat before has hit two home runs here in the game. Oh, my goodness. And Shohei Ohtani guy rubbing off on people. The game is not over. The Met fans all sitting on their asses right now. Anyway, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Now that we've taken a stroll down how awful Los Angeles is. Love Los Angeles, by the way. Beautiful place. Very beautiful place. Let's talk some football. No, not the Rams. They're not worth talking about. And not the Chargers right now. Let's just wish their head coach well as he wears a heart monitor. I hope he's okay. Being an NFL coach is a tough gig. Let's quickly talk about at least one of the amazing games that we'll see this Sunday. I already told you about a terrible one in the Bengals and the Browns. You got the return of Nick Chubb. And also, by the way, in about 10, 12 minutes or so, we're going to have a chat with Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrated. He's going to come through and have a chat with us. But if there's one game I'm looking forward to this Sunday, one of them, it's the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers in another dirty city. Kansas City Chiefs are 5-0. San Francisco 49ers are 3-3. Now, I think you have to take that record of 3-3 with a grain of salt. 49ers have been dealing with all these types of ridiculous injuries. Christian McCaffrey's still out with the sore Achilles and ankles and calves. I guess when you're that big, everything can hurt. 49ers last beat the living hell out of the Seahawks, 36-24. And they got good news. You want to talk about Nick Chubb returning. Ricky Pearsall is going to show up and play in his first game since he was shot in August. Yeah, this is the man got shot in downtown San Francisco and lived to tell about it. God bless him. It's a rematch of the Super Bowl. We saw it earlier this year. The Kansas City Chiefs, they won in overtime. We saw it in 2019. The Kansas City Chiefs beat the 49ers then. This is unfortunately something that they are used to seeing. It's going to be a good game. I'm looking forward to it. Things a little bit different for Kansas City. No Tyreek Hill, obviously. The defense has turned it up, though. They got the second best defense in the entire NFL. And Kyle Shanahan going out there with no Christian McCaffrey. He still has Deebo and Kittle and Ayuk. Kyle Shanahan, he looks at this and he says, man, that defense, that Chris Jones guy in the middle, oh, they something special.
I think it's gotten better and better each year. I thought last year was the best defense that we played all year, and I feel that way this year so far. So they got guys who've been playing a long time together. They've been doing his scheme for a while. He's been doing his scheme for so long, but they continue to add to it. They continue to fine-tune it, and I got a lot of respect for him and his scheme.
Oh, yeah, yes, lots of respect. Come on now. Kyle Shanahan, Andy Reid. Kansas City Chiefs are coming off of a bye, by the way. Last time they played, they beat up on the Saints. And this is something the Saints are used to. Now five losses in a row. So Kansas City's been rolling. They ain't got no Rashee Rice. They bring back Kareem Hunt. All of a sudden, Juju Smith-Schuster is looking amazing. Like, they're lighting it up. Andy Reid is 21-4 coming off of a bye week. That dates back to his time with the Eagles. And Andy Reid, one of the best coaches of all time, going into the Hall of Fame. Andy Reid, we know he has a great quarterback. He's looking at the other quarterback, Brock Purdy. He's second in the league in yards passing and has 9 touchdowns already. Andy Reid is like, that Brock Purdy guy's good.
I think he's a heck of a player. I remember the head coach at Iowa State saying this guy changed the program around. And when you make a statement like that, and he's a good football coach, when you make a statement like that, that's bold. We all see why he said it. You know, he was right on with that.
No. He about to get paid, too. The quarterback on the other side, the one who wins the Super Bowls, or at least won 2 of them. Patrick Mahomes this year, he has 6 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. You would think that's crap, right? But the guy's still one of the best. And Kyle Shanahan was asked about that. Is Patrick Mahomes having a down year? You going to take advantage of this? And Kyle Shanahan thought the question was a joke.
Everyone says down year just because their numbers aren't just crazy. But, I mean, Pat's as good as it gets. He's been as good as it gets since the first year that he got to play. You know, all their games, I think, except for one, have come down to the last possession, and he's as good as anyone in that last possession.
You don't want to see this guy with the ball in his hands. At the end of the game, you don't want to see Patrick Mahomes. And he knows for a 49ers team that's trying to crawl away from the 500 record that they have right now. The Kansas City Chiefs, they got a record of 5-0. And Patrick Mahomes is like, this is not the Super Bowl. But this is a big damn game.
I think it's as big as a regular season game you could play in. But, I mean, they're a great football team. And I always like going up against the best. And that's what we're going up against this week. And so we understand that it's going to be a big game. We understand that it's going to take our best to win. So you just have to have extreme focus and know that it's going to be one play that kind of decides the entire game.
Yeah, this is a pick 'em game, folks. I don't even want to give you who I think is going to win. The game is going to take place in San Francisco. I told you about Ricky Pearsall making his debut. It'd be amazing to see him go out there and get a catch. This is a tough one. It can go either way anyway. It's hard to ever bet against Patrick Mahomes. There's no Christian McCaffrey. It's tough. I'm gonna take the 49ers at home. I don't think Kansas City is going to go undefeated. I think this is going to be, you know, maybe they're 1 or 3, 4 losses. It's just what it is. I think there's going to be a lot of emotion involved in this game with Pearsall out there. And I think the 49ers will score just enough points. I'm going to give them the victory via field goal. Hickey, how you feeling about this game, the Super Bowl rematch?
I'm with you. I like the 49ers in this one. I think they're playing better football. I don't trust the Chiefs' offense, I think, to be able to keep up with San Francisco. I know, again, that the Chiefs' defense is elite, but I think San Francisco at home makes enough plays here. I think they pull out a close victory.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll find out. This is America. Is this America's game of the week? Are we going to get Tom Brady on this one or no? What is this?
You know it.
Wow. Yeah, some guy who knows a thing or two about winning Super Bowls. Tom Brady, America's game of the week. We got the Chiefs and we got the Niners. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, let's talk to Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrated. He covers the Chiefs. He covers the whole NFL. And so let's ask him about this matchup, get into some of the other great games this upcoming weekend, and what we might see happen in the trade deadline. Well, we got a lot to get into. Matt Verderam is here with us on the other side. You're locked into the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We just talked about some of the upcoming action on NFL Sunday. We got things kicked off this week. Unfortunately, last night, the Broncos beaten down on the Saints. We do have some good games. We got a Super Bowl rematch with Kansas City and the 49ers. We got the Lions in Minnesota coming up. We got a lot to discuss. Joining us right now, this man covers all things NFL for Sports Illustrated and keeps up with the Chiefs and everybody else. It's Matt Verderam. Matt, how are you?
Doing well, JR. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you for taking the time to join us. I guess, what are your thoughts on this Super Bowl rematch? We see the Chiefs coming in, some injuries to Rashee Rice, and you got Kareem Hunt taking over for Pacheco. What are your thoughts on what the Chiefs have done up until now and what they got in store for the Niners?
You know, I think it's a really interesting game, Jar, from this standpoint. You know, I think it's very important for San Francisco. If the Chiefs lose the game, look, you're 5-1, you lost probably the toughest game on your schedule. It's a non-conference road game. Fine. The 49ers are 3-3. And while I think we all believe they will eventually pull away and win this division, it's about more than that. They've got to start thinking about, okay, well, what about seeding? What about the one seed? You go with the NFC North, they're going to have some competition. And for Kyle Shanahan, he is 0-4 against Chiefs in his career. And Mahomes has lit them up. He averages 363 passing yards a game. I mean, the Chiefs have beaten them soundly in both regular season matchups and then obviously in close games in both Super Bowls they've seen each other in. For the Chiefs, you know, I think Kansas City is a little bit misunderstood nationally, and I get why, but they're a defensive team. Like, the Chiefs are about their defense, and they have Mahomes. It sounds weird to say, but they have Mahomes almost in reserve. Like, if they need him, okay, fine, let Pat take the game over. But defensively, they're as dominant as anybody in football on that side. And so I think, you know, this is a game where the Niners have been great on offense. Can they put up points? I mean, nobody's put up 30 on the Chiefs this year. Nobody's put up 35 on the Chiefs in 2 years. Can the Niners get toward that 30-point mark?
Well, Matt, let me ask you this question. We know for years you think about the Kansas City Chiefs. You look at the offense, how dynamic it was, and you looked at a defense that was pretty much average in the middle of the pack. What has changed for them to now be sitting at number 2 in points allowed per game?
The trade of Tyreek Hill really was the fulcrum point for them. And it took a little while to catch up because they traded him prior to the 2022 season. And that year, Mahomes went crazy. He had 5,200 passing yards, won MVP, and they had a great offense. But, you know, last season, that offense was not good. Yeah, you know, at least by their standards. I mean, anybody who watched them, they struggled. They struggled a lot. They did not have receivers that they could really rely on. And so I think, you know, going into the season, their big bet was on Hollywood Brown and then the maturation of Rashee Rice along with Xavier Worthy being that first-round pick. And Worthy's looked good. He's played well. He's had some big touchdowns and big spots. But Rice is out for the year. Brown is out for at least most of the year. Kind of depends. You talk to some people with that team, they think maybe he comes back around Christmas, but it's an uncertainty. And so you have this team that they can't play the way they played with Tyreek Hill. But in that trade of sending him to Miami, they've got a bunch of picks. They got 5 draft picks, and some of those picks turned into Trent McDuffie and George Karlaftis, and they were able to keep Chris Jones. And they were able to get a guy like a Jalen Watson in the seventh round. And they were able to get Leo Chenal in the third round and Brian Cook in the second round. I mean, it just set them up. They drafted really, really well. And so now this defense is fantastic. And the offense is basically, hey, look, guys, go out and score 24 points. And if you do that, you're basically never going to lose. And that's the way they built this team. And obviously, it's worked to this point.
Matt Verderam is here joining us on the Infinity Sports Network from Sports Illustrated. Do you believe the Chiefs will stand pat, given everything you just said, by the time the trade deadline rolls around on November 5th?
No, JR, I don't. I think they're going to make a move for a receiver. You know, you talk to people around the league, you talk to people around the team. I think that's pretty much a general expectation. Like, they have 2 third-round picks. They have their own, and they have Tennessee's because of the L'Jarius Sneed trade. And that's based on the way Tennessee's played this year, looking like it's going to be a pretty good pick. I don't think the Chiefs will move that selection unless they feel like they have no other choice. I think they'd much rather obviously trade their own third rounder, maybe even a fourth rounder. Although I think with them, because of where they're going to pick, their third is probably more conducive. But you look around the league, and I wrote about this about a week ago for SI. There's a lot of guys. Adams obviously off the board, as is Amari Cooper. I think Deontay Johnson makes a lot of sense for the Chiefs. You know, he's 28 years old. They typically like to bring in guys under the age of 30, so he fits there. They tried to trade for him this offseason, but the Steelers would not trade with the Chiefs, so he ends up going to Carolina. He's not going to stay in Carolina after this year. At least that's not the expectation. Of course, things always change, but you know, he's a free agent after this season. So, look, I think the Chiefs are going to be aggressive there. I think Deontay Johnson's a target. If they don't land him, they could look at a guy like Darius Slayton in New York, another guy entering into his contract year here, under 30 years old. The Giants and Chiefs have made trades before with these regimes. We saw Kadarius Toney go for a third-round pick to the Chiefs a couple years back. So those would be a couple guys I'd look at and say that would make sense for the Chiefs. Tutu Atwell, another guy with the Rams. DeMarcus Robinson, who played for the Chiefs. Now, he's not the impact guy I mentioned here with some of the other names, but you know, the Chiefs love to get the band back together. Look at Juju Smith-Schuster. Look at Kareem Hunt. So I think they have a lot of options.
So, Matt, you talk about all the trades that did take place earlier this week. It was just off to the races. The Jets get Adams, and you talk about Cooper to the Buffalo Bills. What team do you think has the best chance of knocking the Chiefs off the perch in their hopes of three-peating?
This is probably a really surprising answer based on their record. I think it's Cincinnati. I still think it's Cincinnati.
Wow, okay.
Because, JR, they know how to play them. Like so if you asked me who I think the second best team in the conference is, I would tell you I think it's Baltimore. But Baltimore, it's a horrible matchup for them when they play the Chiefs. The Chiefs play more press man coverage than anybody in football. And they are willing, and they do it every time they see the Ravens. They will sit and press man. They have no fear of them throwing the ball. And they put 7-8 guys down the box. And the Ravens have not had an answer for it. The Ravens are also struggling mightily against the pass this year, and that is not where you want to be against Mahomes, even with the receiving core the way it is. Cincinnati has beaten them in a big spot before. They are 3-2 when Burrow faces Mahomes. They could have very easily been 4-1 if they had held on earlier this year. The Bengals present problems for the Chiefs just the way that they play. Houston is kind of the team that I look at and say it's hard to give an answer to that because they're a younger team. Stroud has never played the Chiefs, so you don't know exactly what that match would look like. I just worry about Stroud in his first game against Spagnuolo. Like, what does that look like? That is a lot. Guys typically struggle against that defense the first time or two they see him, especially at Arrowhead. So I think it's Cincinnati. I think Buffalo got better, no question. I think the Bills are a real threat, but the Chiefs are 3-0 in the playoffs against them. And the Chiefs, if you look at those games, have just slaughtered Buffalo's defense. They do it every time they see him. And the Bills' defense this year has not been great. So I actually think if the Bengals can get themselves right, they're still the team the Chiefs would tell you they'd least like to see in a playoff game.
Matt Verderam is joining us from Sports Illustrated. You mentioned the Texans, and we see that they've continued on the path where they started last year with Ryan being the head coach and Stroud. Yep. The Vikings also this year with Sam Darnold. What team that surprised so far this season, or at least a young emerging team, do you think is bound to hit a little bit of a wall, may turn into a pumpkin?
Yeah, I mean, so based on that, right, like I think Houston's absolutely legit. We saw that last year. Minnesota is a candidate for that. I don't know if you want to throw Denver in that mix. I mean, they're 4-3. I don't believe in Denver strictly based off the fact that I just don't think Bo Nix at this point in time is a quarterback who can lead a contending level team. I just don't see that happening. And if you look at Denver's schedule the back half of the year, it's brutal. I think Minnesota's a playoff team. I don't think Minnesota's a championship team. Hmm. Look, Darnold, if you watch these games, he hasn't been bad, but he's a little bit of a, for the lack of a better term, a little bit of a passenger in these games. Like, they've been very good defensively. And look, that's fine. That's how Minnesota's got to play with him. Like, hey, man, make three or four throws to Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. We're going to get DJ Hockenson back. We're going to run the ball a little bit. Kevin O'Connell's a really good schemer. That's how we're going to play. But in the playoffs, you know, JR, that's where it gets tough. And that's why I think, you know, we see teams over and over and over, whether it was Brady all those years in New England or Mahomes now. When you've got the quarterback, you know, in the playoffs, that is so important. Whereas you look at Minnesota, and when they've got a 3rd-and-9, and they've got to have it, I don't know that Darnold can do it time and again. Whereas I think, you know, you look around the other contenders in the league, that most of them have these quarterbacks who are all pro level. And I think Washington might win that division. I don't think Washington wins the Super Bowl. Defensively, they're terrible. But offensively, with Dan Daniels, is legitimate. That kid can play. So I think they could be a 10-win team. And if, you know, look at the rest of the NFC East. Who else is winning 10 games? Maybe Philly? Maybe. But I actually like Washington.
Well, Matt, let me ask you this in closing. Take a look at the Kansas City Chiefs. You feel confident that they're going to be out there three-peating? What are your thoughts on who's going to hoist the Lombardi, given what you've seen so far?
Oh, I mean, listen, I think there are probably 7 or 8 teams that have a real shot, right? I mean, Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo, Houston, you know, Detroit, Green Bay, I think you put in that mix, San Francisco, you know, and then, hey, look, throw in another team. You want to maybe take a flyer on Minnesota if you believe in them, or Cincinnati if you think they're going to get right, or, you know, whoever the case may be. But it's about a quarter of the league. I still think I kind of go under the old axiom of what I've always felt like, and I felt like with New England all those years, until somebody beats the Chiefs, it's them. That team, the thing that's so hard with them is they're so good defensively now that Mahomes doesn't have to do what he had to do early in his career. It was like, hey, you got to score 30. You got to score 31 points. He scores 20 points. They're going to win a lot of weeks. They score 23 points. And a lot of times in a game that is that low scoring against them, you're going to get to a point in the game where, hey, man, he's got to make one play. He's Patrick Mahomes. Probably going to make that play. So I still would take them. They're obviously undefeated. They're in line early for the one seed. And if they get that one seed, you got to go in there and beat them. That's a lot to ask of anybody in January.
Yeah. I'm here from some history. I wouldn't be mad at seeing them, go 3 in a row. We'll see what they do. Hey, Matt, where can people follow you and all of your work with SI?
Yeah, SI.com. Obviously, check me out there. And then also on Twitter, at Matt Verderam. You can follow me there. I'm on there all the time. I share out my work. So the MMQB podcast, I was on this week with Albert Breer. Broke down the weekend's game. So everybody can go there and find my work.
Hey, thank you so much, Matt. We'll catch you on down the line. You be well, okay?
Hey, you too. Take care.
No doubt about it. That Matt Verderam covers all things NFL for Sports Illustrated. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I need you to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. We're going to take a break. When we come back, you know, the Eagles were mentioned just a little bit in our last conversation. I want to take a dive because we talked about the return of Nick Chubb. Well, Saquon Barkley, he's not necessarily making a return, but he is going to be facing off against the New York Giants. Yeah, last team he played for, now he's going up against them. We'll get into that on the other side.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
Okay, all right. Hickey, this group is from Queens, New York. Led by Mr. Cheeks, yeah.
Lost Boys, huh?
That's right, yeah. Mr. Cheeks. A little lights, camera, action. Not this song, though. Hey, speaking of Queens, New York, New York Mets, they're still up. 11-6, keeping those Dodgers at bay. This team, Hickey, how's your heart? How do you deal with this, man? How?
This is tough. I'll be honest. I have never felt less good Now my brain is going to mush. I've never felt less secure about a 5-run lead late than I do right now. This lineup is just relentless.
Yeah, it's at least the Mets put a run up. I guess I don't know if I want to call that insurance or what. But
it's insurance.
Yeah, man.
We'll
see what this looks like, because the Dodgers can certainly just explode, and the New York Mets are just trying to keep them at bay. It's they're pretty fun to watch. 11-6, they're heading into the 8th inning. Mets are going to get another chance here at the bottom of the 7th to put some more insurance runs up. The next time we see the Dodgers will be in the 8th. Let's see what they do. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Thank you so much to Matt Verderam for joining us from Sports Illustrated. And speaking of New York, this is going to be fun, I guess. Maybe not for the New York Giants who play in New Jersey, but Saquon Barkley is back. The man who got a new contract from the Philadelphia Eagles, the team right down the road, is going to be in town to beat up on the New York Giants. The Eagles have a record of 3-2. They last beat up on the Browns 20-16. We saw the return of Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. And let's just say Saquon is going to get booed. Let's just be honest. Saquon Barkley is going to be heckled is the right word. Is that appropriate?
Yeah. Jeered, heckled, right? It's all kind of the same family there.
And worse, whatever it is that they can do to this man, they're going to do it. We all saw how this played out in Hard Knocks, and Saquon didn't want to go. He said Giants didn't give him an offer, but the offer wasn't what the Eagles were going to give. And so he's gone. And he's playing for a team that you would think, if they can get their act together, that they're going to compete for a Super Bowl. You'd probably say Nick Sirianni is maybe probably the chief reason why they might have some of these issues. And so returning back to where it all started, where he was a Pro Bowler, a superstar, a Pro Bowl everything. Saquon Barkley says, yeah, going back home, well, playing for the Giants, playing for the Eagles now, I ain't got to prove nothing to them.
I don't have to prove anything to them. I'm thankful for the opportunity for this organization, Jeffrey, to Howard, to everybody, getting me here. So that's the people I got to prove it to, and my teammates. At the end of the day, the most important thing is winning. Whether I go and have 300 yards or if I have 10 yards, as long as we win, I don't really get, I don't have that big of a pride or ego that if I go out there and ball, it's like I'm looking at, those guys over there, like, oh, look what you guys let go. It's no hate over there.
Hickey, somebody's having the time of their life in that locker room, huh?
Whistling away.
Yeah, just having a good old time. Have you ever heard a miserable... Yeah, that's true. I answered my own question. I was going to say, have you ever heard a miserable person whistle? The answer is yes.
Really? Is this famous?
Yeah, I think I have to think about it. But there's a movie. It's probably one of these horror movies. Oh, my God. It's October 18th. Now we're really getting close to Halloween. Does it feel like Halloween outside? Are people being freaks and putting up spiders and webs? Is the office decorated?
Here? No.
Well, the lobby isn't decorated. There's no spider webs or nothing there?
No spider webs. I'm not sure it's because we're under construction, but there is. You would have no idea in this building that it was Halloween.
The Odyssey lobby, like right around the corner. There's no spider webs there? Nothing?
Nothing. No, yeah, like the main entrance. Nothing.
Oh, wow.
The front door to our floor, nothing.
Oh, wow.
The news station, nothing.
Wow.
We are just a generic radio station, talking sports, holidays be damned.
They said here that they considered having some type of Halloween. You know, you got to keep morale, keep morale going. Yeah, a Halloween party thing, whatever, was rejected.
Oh.
Not everybody does it, I guess, so whatever.
Wow. That doesn't mean gone?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I make a grand entrance at the Christmas party once a year, and that's it. I don't even think it's called Christmas. It's the holiday party because, everybody does something different.
Politically correct, of course.
Yeah, you have to. You got to do holiday. But, yes, thanks.
So you would not show up to a Halloween party if they had one? at work?
I don't know, bro. I don't know. No, it's too much. It's too close to Christmas. Holiday. Whatever. Too close. And I'm not going to show up wearing anything. I don't want to play any stupid games. Hickey, I come for the food and the drinks. All right.
Well, that's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, that's it. Food and the drinks. I'm not getting dressed up. I'm not wearing nothing. I don't want to play nobody's stupid Halloween games. You know, I don't need that crap.
Put your hand in this bowl. Feel what it is.
Yeah, I don't need that. You want to, what are they going to give away? Movie tickets and give away tickets to some nice event here. Maybe they'll give away some cash, gift cards or something. I'll pass. No thanks.
I mean, those prizes sound pretty good. I'll say. Yeah, cash prize. I won't say no. Best costume? Hell.
Yeah.
I'll dress up.
Yeah, we might have an ugly sweater party for the holidays. Yeah, holidays. Yeah, Halloween is pulling up October 18th. No freaks in New York. Well, the freaks outside all the time.
24/7, 365.
Yeah, I guess you don't need Halloween in New York. Things can get really scary. And speaking of really scary, Dexter Lawrence, man in the middle, the front line of that New York Giants defense, he said things are going to be real scary for Saquon Barkley.
I think he did a lot of good for this organization. But you know, we got some tough fans, and they're gonna bring them in however they feel is right by them. You know, I appreciate what he did for this organization and who he was as a teammate and a person to me, most importantly. But you know, Sunday is war, and he knows that.
Yeah, he knows. Everybody knows that. And Saquon knows that. He knows he's going to get booed out that building. Watch him. Hickey, he's going to have like a 45, 50-plus yard run. I don't know if he's going to go for a touchdown on that run. But he going to bust a good one out, man. He's going to drive those fans crazy.
And then how do you celebrate? Do you do the old finger to the mouth like, shh? Do you flap your arms like, you know, the Eagles, like now you're a bird? How do you celebrate that big rip-off run?
You have to run to the New York Giants logo and do the arm flap. Yep.
Okay, I like it.
Yeah, you got to be real. You got to be real disrespectful. But he's a classy guy. He's not going to do anything. I don't know. He'll do whatever he does. He'll do classy. He wouldn't be a jerk like me. Let's take a listen to Saquon Barkley. He says, "Yeah, I think the fans in New York, fans in New Jersey, wherever the hell they're from, Pennsylvania." He says, "Yeah, they're gonna give me a rough time."
I said, "I don't expect to get booed," and I was meaning more of like it's the game is this rivalry is so much bigger than you know what happened in the offseason between me and the Giants or Hard Knocks. Like this has been going on for a really long time. So I've been on the other side and I know how Giants fans feel. So I don't know what the environment is going to be like, but I'm excited.
Yeah, well, the Giants suck. I can tell you what's going to happen. The Eagles are going to win, and if they don't, they should leave Nick Sirianni in New Jersey. Giants couldn't score more than 7 points against the Bengals. And I get it. You just heard Matt Verderam. He still thinks the Bengals can turn things around. Not me. Think this team, well, the Giants, I think the Giants are awful because they are. At least Malik Nabers is back from his concussion. Says he doesn't even remember hitting his head on the turf. Doesn't remember the experience. He's going to remember the whooping that they get. And if the New York Giants win this game, it's going to be because of Malik Nabers. And not the guy throwing him the ball, because Daniel Jones, he sucks too. A.J. Brown, he doesn't stink. Wide receiver for the Eagles. He says, Saquon? Oh, yeah, he going to light up the Giants. Bet on it.
I think he's handling it the best way he can. You know, of course, I think the beast will probably be let out on Sunday. But he's doing a great job keeping it one day at a time. And he's just doing what he regularly does. And just coming to work, doing the little things. And so I think you just break it down to making the most of each and every opportunity. And just focus on the little details, your keys. And, you know, try not to make the big play. Just make the routine play. You know, and everything else will take over itself. You know, he's a great athlete. I'm sure he's going to make plays.
Yeah, Halloween is coming up. Lots of horror movies and thrillers and what have you. Things are going to get real scary at MetLife Stadium. It's going to get real bad for the New York Giants. So we heard that whistling in the background when Saquon was talking. Somebody was whistling. Yeah, Hickey, there is a horror movie where the villain is just He like whistles down the hallway. You can't see him, but you hear him whistling before he kills you.
I don't know what movie you're talking about, but that does sound familiar. Yeah. Which is, that's freaky.
Now, is that like one of these horror movie cliches, or is it just like one thing, one guy in particular that does that? I don't know.
I got to look it up. It feels like one guy in particular.
It's like you don't see him or something, but it's dark and he's whistling. And the whistling is so ominous. It's like he's no words, but I'm coming to get you. Like, is it? It's one of the famous ones, too. Is it Freddy? No, Freddy, he talks. He talks crap.
Insidious? No, that's more ghosts, right?
I don't know who that is. I don't know what that is.
Oh, you don't know? Well, no. I think it's like, yeah, it's a freaky one.
No, bro. I know Freddy. I know Michael Myers. I know Jason. I know the classics. I don't know Insidious. I got to Google that.
The Burning?
The Burning?
I just typed into Google. I'm just reading off right now. What movie does the killer whistle?
Nah.
Mousetrap?
The Burning? Nah. These are movies I've never heard of, Hickey. I'll find out before the show is up. It's the JR Sportbree Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Guardians and Yankees are getting ready. The Mets are smacking up the Dodgers 11-6. We're going to talk more NFL. Don't move.